As part of our RE program during this time of in-person restriction, Barbara McCoy and I have been meeting weekly with our youth book club. We have recently concluded reading the book Divergent by Veronica Roth. It is about a futuristic dystopian society in the Chicago area after a devastating war. Barbara and I found it grim and violent. The protagonist in the story, Triss, is a 16-year-old girl who is tested to determine which of five groups she belongs based on how she thinks. The intellectuals, the plain speakers, the peacemakers, the warriors, or the selfless caretakers. During this test, Triss responds to situations in such a way that the test is inconclusive. She is told that she is divergent. And this is not a good thing. It's dangerous. And people have been found to be divergent and have been eliminated. Now, the appeal of this book to young adults is in Triss's self-discovery of who she is, her strengths, and her integrity to be herself. Reading this book caused me to reflect on a faith message delivered by our friend and much valued leader, Rich Jaffke, in March of 2015. And today I'm sharing with you portions of that message entitled Creativity. So I begin. Some people believe that there's no reason to deviate from what's worked in the past. So why be creative? Why challenge the rules? Why run the risk of failing and looking foolish? Well, there's two good reasons I can think of. The first is change. When things change and new information comes into existence, it's no longer possible to solve current problems with yesterday's solutions. Over and over again, people are finding that what worked 2 years ago won't necessarily work today. And this gives them a choice. They can either bemoan the fact that things aren't as easy as they used to be, or they can use their creative abilities to find new answers, new solutions, and new ideas. A second reason for generating ideas is that it can be lots of fun. Indeed, Roger Van Eyck, the author of A Whack on the Side of the Head, likes to think of creative thinking as the sex of our mental lives. Ideas have cycles. They're born, they develop, they reach maturity, and they die. So we need a way to generate new ideas. Creative thinking is that means, and like its biological counterpart, it can be quite pleasurable. Let's suppose you're a market hotshot and you get a call from the president of a large company and learn that somehow his inventory system has really fouled up and his company now has a $1 million oversupply of ball bearings. And your task is to think of what to do with the ball bearings, either one at a time or in combination. Knowledge is the stuff of which new ideas are made. Nonetheless, knowledge alone won't make a person creative. We've all known people who knew lots of facts, and not much creative happened. Their knowledge just sat in their crania because they didn't think about what they knew in new ways. The real key to being creative lies in what you do with your knowledge. Creative thinking requires an outlook that allows you to search for ideas and play with your knowledge and experience. With this outlook, you try different approaches, first one, then another, sometimes getting nowhere at all. You use crazy, foolish, impractical ideas and step as stepping stones to new ideas. You break the rules occasionally and explore for ideas in unusual outside places. And in the end, your creative outlook enables you to come up with new ideas. Now, speaking of a creative outlook, let's get back to what you might do with $1 million oversupply of ball bearings. Here are some possibilities. You could use them to test if a surface is level. You could sew them into a canvas vest and use them as weight clothing for athletes in training. You can make furniture out of them, like beanbag chairs to be used in public places, because they would be so heavy they couldn't get stolen. You can make jewelry out of them, earrings, bracelets, necklaces. You could put them at the bottom of uneven curtains and use them as curtain weights. The point of this exercise is that an idea, concept, or thing, in this case, a ball bearing, takes its meaning from the context in which you put it. If you change its context, it will take on a different meaning. For example, transferring a ball bearing from the things that reduce friction context to that of shiny and pretty thing, it gives us all kinds of jewelry and art ideas. Emphasizing the weight allows us to think of weight ideas, such as curtain weights. Thus, changing contexts is one way to discover the possibilities of your resources. Why don't we think of something different more often? There are several main reasons. The first is that we don't need to be creative most of the time. Staying on our using our routine thought paths enable us to do many things that we need to do without actually having to think a lot about them. Another reason that we're not creative or more creative is that we haven't been taught to be. Much of our educational system still is an elaborate game of guess what the teacher is thinking. Many of us have been taught that the best ideas are in someone else's head. A third reason is that most of us have certain attitudes that lock our thinking into the status quo and keep us from thinking more of the same or something different. These attitudes are necessary for most of what we do, but they can get in the way when we try to be creative. Roger Van Eyck calls these attitudes mental locks. Here are some mental locks that get in the way of creativity. Number one, there's only one right answer. Number two, that's not logical. Number three, following the rules rigidly. Number four, saying, gotta be more practical. Number five, thinking that play is frivolous. Number six, thinking that's not my area. Number seven, not allowing yourself to be foolish and laugh at yourself. Number eight, thinking that to make an error is wrong. Number nine, thinking I'm not creative. And sometimes nothing short of a whack on the side of your head can dislodge assumptions that keep us thinking more of the same. Whacks come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. They have one thing in common, however. They force you, for at least a moment, to think something different. Here are some examples. It could happen If you lost your job, it could happen when a teacher tells you she thinks that you have a special talent. It could be the result of traveling to a new country. It could happen if you broke your leg. It could be a question that you never thought about before. It could be an economic downturn. It could be a pandemic forcing everyone to social distance. But it could even be a joke. Like, what is the difference between a cat and a comma? The answer? A cat has its claws at the end of its paws, and a comma is the pause at the end of a clause. Did it get you thinking? Those ideas of situations that cause you to get out of your routine paths and think different are a whack to your thinking. Sometimes getting a whack on the side of the head can be the best thing that happens to you. The worlds of thought and action overlap. What you think has a way of becoming true. If you want to be more creative, believe in the worth of your ideas. Have the persistence to build upon them. With this attitude, you'll take more risks. You'll break the rules occasionally. You'll look for more than one right answer. Explore for ideas outside your area. Tolerate ambiguities. Be foolish now and then. Play a little bit. Engage in asking what-if questions. And be motivated to go beyond the status quo. That is divergent thinking. By my way of thinking, Unitarian Universalists should possess greater creativity than your average Joe, because UUs are more open to new ideas and practices. Our 7 principles and 6 sources provide a framework of moral and ethical values, but provide considerable flexibility for one's own spiritual development. Indeed, it is rather expected of UUs that they will develop their own spiritual path, and it is not the purpose of Unitarian Universalism to prescribe a one-size-fits-all spiritual pathway. I think of Unitarian Universalism as a spiritual petri dish, an environment providing spiritual nutrients in which one can grow according to their own principles, intuitions, and inspirations. We come together to mutually support one another on our journeys in a spirit of respect and acceptance. Unitarian Universalist history provides enormous evidence as to the creativity of past UUs, such as King Sigismund, John Adams, Thomas Paine, Paul Revere, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Charles Darwin, John Murray, George de Benneville, and Susan B. Anthony. It is my belief that the freedom of thought and belief allowed in Unitarian Universalism provided these great leaders the creativity to boldly develop new ideas without being bound by conventional thought. Their freedom and creativity was cause and foundation for their great achievements and progress in religion, politics, science, and social justice. This is true today. As you use, we are still encouraged to be open to new ideas and concepts in every aspect of our life. We are encouraged to be flexible and adaptive, to take the experience and ideas of our modern world and to incorporate them into our spiritual development. While we have doubts about some things, we have no doubt that we are on a never-ending, ascending, holy spiritual journey. We are alive. Appreciate and utilize your freedom. Use your spirituality in the development of your creativity. And use your creativity in the development of your spirituality. Allow your creativity to blossom so that your life will blossom, so that you affirm the wonderful and precious gift you are to the world. Meet the world with the integrity of your true self.